Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy, the podcast that empowers you to transform life's challenges into opportunities for personal growth and healthier relationships. We're your hosts, Tim and Ruth Olson, licensed marriage and family therapists and trauma experts.
As experienced therapists with backgrounds in addressing trauma and mental health disorders, we believe there is hope and there certainly is healing.
We have spent our lives supporting people through the ups and downs, and we want to share these insights with you. Together, we'll unravel the layers of personal growth, healing from trauma, and building healthy relationships. Each week, we'll bring you engaging conversations, expert insights, and practical strategies to help you heal from the past, foster healthy communication, and develop enduring love.
This podcast is your guide to transforming adversity into triumph, healing wounds and past trauma, gaining wisdom and insight, and creating meaningful, fulfilling connections. So if you're here to heal, to better understand yourself or your relationships, you're in the right place. So sit back, get comfortable,
bring your trauma and your drama,
and let's start healing.
Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy podcast. We're so glad that you're here with us today. In today's episode, we're going to do something a little different. Back in December, if you look at episodes 130 and 131, we had Lissa Figgins on our podcast, and she was such a joy to be around. She has such valuable resources for you as a Christian time management coach, and she has built an incredible community of women who really do support and encourage each other. And so we really loved having her on our podcast. And then in January, we had the privilege of going on to her podcast and she interviewed us. So today we actually want to share on our podcast the interview that Lissa did over at the Redeem Her Time podcast with us. And we're going to be talking about how negative cognitions really can impact you. And these negative beliefs, how they really do change and affect your life in ways that you may not even be aware of. So make sure you go over and check out the Redeem Her Time podcast. She has a lot of great resources on her website. But we hope you enjoy today's episode.
Well, hello, everyone. You guys are in for a big treat because something unique is happening on the Redeem Her Time podcast. Not only do we have a guest today on the podcast, but we have two guests today. I have never had two people as guests before, so you guys are my first, but I want to introduce you to Tim and Ruth Olson. We met in a mastermind about a year ago, and the Lord knew that we were going to build a relationship by working on ourselves and working on our businesses inside of this container together. And so we've continued to follow each other's podcasts and to encourage each other and lift each other up. And I am excited because what Tim and Ruth are talking about really ties into a lot of what we talk about here on Redeem Her Time. So I want you guys first to introduce yourselves. And this, again, will be interesting because there's two of you. So go back and forth like you guys do such a great job in doing. Tell us like who you are, right? And who and what is filling your time in this season of your life together?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having us on your podcast. We really appreciate the opportunity to be here. It was so much fun when we had you on our podcast. But we are Tim and Ruth Olson. We are both licensed marriage and family therapists. We've been married for 14 years. We have five kiddos. And one of the things that we really focus on and we tend to work a lot with clients on is trauma and negative beliefs that people have developed that really prevent them from attaining their goals, that can keep them from being able to manage their anxiety or feelings of depression, or even being able to just keep their schedule in order and to be able to push forward with those kinds of things. And so that's some of the things that we are really passionate about, that we're very interested in. And then Ruth and I, we actually met each other in our master's program together. Yeah, so we were in school together and my dashing good looks wasn't actually the thing that caught her eye. I did a presentation in school and that's the thing that she saw and she's like, "Ooh, who's that guy?"
It is true. Professor at the time, who was our mentor, actually had to tell him to be quiet because he was doing a group presentation and he just had all answers and none of the other group members really answered. And so the professor, who I respect and I love, he just kindly told Tim, "Okay, well, maybe have the other." So I just thought his brain, his big, beautiful brain is what caught me. But I also, he is dashingly handsome.
The brawn and the brain, for those of you.
Yes, all of that.
It goes both ways, right? I love that. I love
that. And just to add on, we also have a new coaching program, Coaching with Truth. And so that came from, well, obviously we want to always have truth and God's word is the foundation of what we do, but also Coaching with Truth. Our couple name is Tim and Ruth together is Truth. And
very,
so
very cute.
And so that's just how we kind of came up with that. And what fills our time is, like he said, we have five children, ages 10 down to almost two. She's about to turn two in a couple of weeks. And so that definitely fills our time, but it's such a blessing to be parents.
Yeah. And you homeschool, right? So like you're counselors and you've got five kids and you homeschool. And okay, here's just a really fun fact that they didn't share, but I'm going to offer this up because I just listened to your last two episodes. You guys are like escape room artists. Like, we're having this conversation before we hit record. I legit have never set foot in an escape room. And I don't think I've ever really thought twice about doing it. And yet you've done like five in the past like month or so and found a really creative way to tie in lessons that you learned in escape rooms to our relationships. Like, how fun is that?
Oh, it's so much fun. And Ruth is just kind of a funny character sometimes. When she gets into something, once you kind of unseal like an interest in her, she just wants to like do it over and over and over again. And so we had just done one with a friend, and then we got away for our anniversary and we did like three escape rooms in 2 days. But it was a lot of fun. We really enjoy it, but it is kind of a pressure cooker. And if you don't have good communication skills or you're not doing good with managing your emotions, then it can be a place where it can kind of grind you on each other. And so it's a kind of tests your mettle in your relationship if you're going to be able to get through there and still be friends at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely could be some couples therapy happening in there, right? When you start feeling the pressure of all of that coming. And I'm sure that, yeah, you really see a different side of people when you're in a different kind of setting like that. And hopefully together coming to solve a problem and to work on something together and getting to the outside together. So I love that. I think that's really fun about you guys. So I'll keep cheering you on. And maybe the next time I have an opportunity to do one, I will say yes because of you guys. So yeah, well, I love that. I want to circle back to something you shared in the very beginning, Tim, and that is really kind of having this heart to come alongside people when it comes to their negative beliefs and their past and hanging on to that and how that affects, you know, things in their present and how it affects who we're called to be, let alone how we manage our time and, you know, live our lives and things like that. So let's dive into this a little bit more. And I love we're going to get a his and hers perspective. So just so you guys know, my audience is primarily ladies, but it's always fun to hear from a guy's perspective too, because, you know, sometimes there are overlaps in how we think, but sometimes there are different perspectives and things like that. So kind of why do we tend to have these issues around negative beliefs and things that have happened in the past? Let's dive into that a little bit. How does it affect us? What does it cost us? Like, how does it have ripple effect, not just in our relationships, specifically our marriages, but also into other areas of our life?
Yeah, absolutely. Before I jump too much into that, I want to start off with a little bit of how my own mindset about how our past affects us kind of evolved. And I remember we were in school and we were learning about Sigmund Freud. And if you know much about him, he's a little bit of a kooky cat. He had some kind of outlandish ideas. And I remember thinking in school, I was like, what does the past really matter? Especially if we can't change the past. What does it matter if we figure out like, oh, this is why I'm depressed or this is why I'm anxious if we can't solve that problem? Because the thought process I had about counseling was much more about cognitive behavioral therapy, which is how we're thinking today, what are our actions that we're taking today, and working at shifting and kind of changing those behaviors and actions to help us better out now. But as I got more into counseling and as I spent some years, Ruth dragged me actually to a training that I was not super thrilled about going to, but we went to this training and it talked more about not just how our past affects us, but how can we solve that problem of how the past affects us? Now, the past can affect us in a ton of different ways, and normally it comes from some type of negative experience you've gone through. It can be something that's an objectively negative experience, like a horrible car wreck where you almost die, or you're a military vet and you have developed PTSD from that type of an experience. It's something that everybody would look at and be objectively like, oh man, yeah, that's a bad event, or that's a scary or uncomfortable event. Or it can be something that's not so blatantly negative. It can be like maybe a careless word from a parent that hurts your feelings. Or I even had a person, they were traumatized by a dream that they had had. And the dream that they had had caused them to rearrange their room so that they wouldn't be near their window because the dream involved somebody coming through the window after them. So it wasn't even something they had experienced in real life. It was just a dream that was very scary and uncomfortable. And so some of these past events that we have or that we go through cause us to develop negative core beliefs or negative core values. So a war veteran who has PTSD, the negative core value or belief system that they developed is, I am in danger. And even though they might know logically, I'm not in danger, I'm at home, I'm not overseas anymore, their brain still is actively searching for threats. And it causes their brain to not want to sleep or have a hard time sleeping or have a hard time relaxing because it's saying, there is danger, there's danger, there's danger. Now, that's a more detrimental negative belief. And there's other ones that are a little bit more light, like I'm not good enough or I can't handle it and something along those lines. And those can definitely affect us in pretty dramatic ways too, even though the way it originated wasn't so intense.
And so when we look at where does it come from, it is important to look at the memory or the origin of it, like the story that happened, what's the experience that you went through that caused this. But really what we're looking for is that negative belief, or we call it the negative cognition, because that begins to be instilled more and more over time. So say you have this belief of I'm not good enough because in third grade you had a spelling test and you got a B and your best friend got an A. And so this feeling of I am not good enough then begins to show up in other relationships along the way. And anytime that that happens, anytime you have another experience, it just confirms that in your mind. It digs these neural pathways in your mind. And then every time that happens, it's like, oh, see, I am not good enough. Or you go out to eat and there's a shooting next to you and you think, oh, see, I am in danger. I always am in danger. I always have to be on high alert. And so it is that experience that we're looking for, but really underneath that, what we're looking for is what is that belief that we hear? And then that translates into negative self-talk that we hear just every day.
Yeah, and I want to share you a little bit of the moment when my mind really shifted from this idea of, hey, the present and the future is all that matters, to understanding really how much the past affects us. So I had mentioned that Ruth had dragged me to this training to learn how to address the past. Ruth is very open to new things. I'm not nearly as open to new things. And so when she was talking about this training and wanting to go there, I'm like, I got a master's degree. I don't want to spend more money and go get more training. Like, master's degree should be good enough. But she's always interested in improving and learning more and getting more information. And so I relented and we went to this training and we're sitting there and we're learning about how to go back and address people's past and things like that. And one of the coolest things and one of the most powerful things that our trainer did was near the end of the first day. By the way, this is a 52-hour training, and so we're doing this training for multiple weekends in a row. And what they did at the end of the first day of training is we sat down with a partner, and we practiced this on each other, and we had a 2-hour block to work on each other. Now, my life, my experience growing up was relatively mild, right? My parents are still married. Nothing really horrible or bad happened to me in childhood, but I did have an experience where I was bullied. I moved from one side of town to the other side of town and changed elementary schools. I think I was in like fourth or fifth grade when I changed elementary schools. So all the kids had already kind of clicked up. And when I moved to this new school, I was unaccepted into any of the new cliques. And so not only was I not accepted, but they actively bullied and made fun of me and gave me a hard time. Now, unbeknownst to me, before this training, I didn't know that this was a problem, but I had developed a negative belief of I am unacceptable. And you know, that's what essentially bullies are telling you. You're unacceptable. There's something wrong with you. And when I was sitting down with this other person who had never done this process before, and as a matter of fact, when he was doing this process on me, the trainer was coming around and chastising him for how bad he was doing. Right? She was on his case. But then at the end of the day, when he had finished the process with me, it was like this switch flipped in my brain. Where when I was thinking back to that timeline, I was always thinking about how I was unaccepted and how I was so poorly treated in school. But then getting near the end of the process, that switch happened. And then all of a sudden my brain's like, hey, wait a minute. You were accepted by the kids in your neighborhood. You still had great friends there. You were on a swim team and they accepted you there. You didn't have any problems there. You were accepted at church and you were accepted at home. There weren't any of these kind of problems except for in this one place. And all of a sudden, my mindset shifted and I was like, oh, Well, that wasn't really true that I wasn't accepted. And the other crazy thing about this is I didn't think regularly about this bullying experience as an adult. This wasn't something I was aware was affecting me until I got in and fixed the issue. And then all of a sudden I was like, wow, that affected me a whole lot. And so the really cool thing about working on some of your past stuff is it doesn't just remove the negative belief of I'm unacceptable. It actively replaces it with a positive belief of I am accepted. And even right now, even just saying that term gives me like kind of positive welling of feelings in my chest because it was such a powerful mindset moment shift that had happened in my brain. And it's not just I intellectually believed that that was true. It's I emotionally felt that that was true. And then it changed a whole lot of things. As a matter of fact, it became one of Ruth's favorite pastimes to kind of point out like, hey, that's different for you. Or would you have normally been like that? Like, what were some of the things you noticed different about me after I had gone through that process?
Well, it's funny because a lot of things that I attributed to him being an introvert really was related more with this trauma and this feeling of not being accepted or not being welcomed. And when we went to church and he didn't really want to talk to anyone, or he just wanted to go in church, get out, go to lunch or whatever it is, and then get home, I always thought, well, it's because he's an introvert. He doesn't really want to talk to people. But when I began to start seeing him just change that. So before I had all the kids and I was talking to people, and then he would be in the car and then he'd take all the kids and pack them up in the car. And that'd be my sign to like, okay, it's time to go.
We're
ready to go. But then after this process happened, you know, over months, I began to see over and over again where I was in the car with the kids ready to go, and he's still over there talking to someone. Or he says, hey, let's go talk to that couple. And my jaw about hit the floor because I was like, You never want to talk to someone.
Who are you?
Exactly. So, I mean, it definitely changed that process. And there's a couple others. I mean, there's many others that I've seen.
Melvin Donut one. That's one of my favorite ones.
Oh, yeah. So, actually, this was the first sign that I noticed that he was different. So, he very much so in our master's program, in counseling, in our practice, he was very professional.
I would say hyper-professional. Sometimes even almost robotic.
And he tells us therapists to be careful of how much we share and what, you know, that connection that's about the client. And he was very good about that. Where I'm the opposite. I will, you know, be in session and my whole process is to connect and relate to the person and, you know, share a story that might connect with them. And so then we went to the next train, the very next day, and we brought donuts. Or no, someone else brought donuts. Someone brought donuts and there was no sprinkles. And one thing about Tim is he loves sprinkles with donuts.
It's super masculine, I know, but I
don't wear sprinkles. Yeah, if you're in a donut, you might as well go all the way, right?
So somebody brought donuts and there was no sprinkles. And so what did you say?
Oh, I said, what are we, too professional for sprinkles? They had like every other type of donut except for sprinkles.
They said, what are we, too professional for sprinkles? And everybody laughed. And I was like, I just looked at him and I was like, this is so weird. Because before, he didn't know these people, so he would never have dared to make a joke because of that belief of, I'm unacceptable. If I make this joke, are they going to accept me? But that was gone. That negative belief was now gone, and so he didn't care. He made a joke, everyone laughed, and I'm like, wait, I'm the funny one, not you. And so it changed a lot of our dynamics and kind of who he is.
Well, I think one of the really cool things about this process, too, when you really work on the past, there's just this anchor that's kind of holding you back, preventing you from fully expressing yourself and being comfortable in your own skin. And once that anchor is removed, you don't have to try to be different. Now you're just acting differently, but it's natural to you. When I was saying earlier that a switch flip, that was the process. It's like before that switch flipped, I couldn't have done those different things or I wouldn't have felt those ways. But then that switch flipped and then all of a sudden it's like, oh my goodness, I feel totally different now at this point. And so there's definitely things where I'm sure your listeners are listening right now and they're probably thinking like, man, yeah, there's a thing I just can't do, or this thing makes me so uncomfortable. I just can't manage this. Or I can imagine like being in a group and making a joke like that. That would make me feel mortified. And again, if you're listening here and you heard Ruth say I'm an introvert and you're like, oh, you don't sound at all like an introvert. You sound very extroverted. Believe me, you get me in a room of 10 to 15 people, I get a lot quieter. But right now, it's just the three of us, even though there's going to be people listening on the outside later. But I am actually quite introverted. So a part of that shift or that change happens, and it allows me to be more comfortable and less concerned about what's happening versus before, I would normally worry about it and then I just didn't worry. And then I would just make a statement or do something. And then it would feel like this is just normal Tim, even though it wasn't normal Tim just before that had happened.
Yeah, because you didn't know the difference, right? It's like you didn't know what life was like on the outside of that escape room because all you could see was the four walls that you were stuck inside. I find it really interesting. I'm not a therapist, but here I am sitting listening to two therapists, right? And it's really interesting to me that sometimes this, it sounds to me, tell me if this is correct summary, something happens at some point in time and we have a reaction to it, right? But what I'm hearing you say is some people keep thinking over and over consciously about that thing. And so that thought is always with them. And some of us, that thing happened and we may not think we're thinking about it, but it is still kind of affecting a lot of things. It's laid some kind of a, like you said, a neural pathway or a foundation upon which we're now building our next thoughts and beliefs and feelings, which then lead to our actions and things like that. So it's interesting that it can kind of be like, I am thinking this on repeat versus I don't even realize I'm thinking about this. Like you said, you hadn't thought about it in years, but it was affecting so many things for you.
Oh, for sure. Actually, when we were trying to find memories to work on, I had to kind of dig deep to find that bullying memory or that bullying experience. But whether you're thinking about it regularly or not, if when you do think about that memory, it does make you feel like uncomfortable, embarrassed, angry, what that's telling you is that that memory has reprogrammed your brain in some way, shape, or form. Because there are definitely memories where you have, where you're like, intellectually, you understand, that's a bad memory. But when you think about it, it doesn't really bother you. That memory hasn't really programmed your brain in any kind of way. But if it still has some negative emotion attachment to it, whether it's a year later, 5 years later, 15 years later, then that memory has negatively affected your brain in some way. And there's a negative belief attached to it that is kind of that anchor that's holding you back and not really allowing you to be your kind of true authentic self.
All right, you guys, for time's sake, we're going to end there with today's podcast, but make sure you join next time as we share with you the rest of the interview where we jump into, okay, great. Now that we know and are more aware of these negative cognitions and these negative beliefs and how they may be impacting us, what do we do with that? So tune in to the next episode as we begin to discuss that. All right, you guys, have a great day. And remember, your mind is a powerful thing. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. We hope that you enjoyed today's episode and found it helpful. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with a friend? Also, we'd love for you to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It lights us up to know that this podcast is helping you.
If you have any questions or a topic you'd like discussed in future episodes, visit our Facebook group. Just click the link in the description below. Although we are mental health providers, this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to provide diagnosis or treatment. If you are struggling with persistent mental health issues, chronic marital issues, or feeling hopeless or suicidal, you are not alone. Help is available. Please seek professional help or call the National Suicide Hotline at 988.
Thank you again for joining us on Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. Remember, there's always hope and there's always help.